We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Good to have you here. Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game, and Steve Kerr joins us for his weekly conversation about the Warriors. And Steve, I know the last thing you want is to be asked about, when do you think Klay's coming back? When do you think Klay's coming back? I know you're even going to dodge the question, so I won't bother asking it, but I will ask you, how great is it to have him back in practice?
Yeah, it's great to have him back in practice. And, you know, he's been around now the last couple of months since the season started and just in a good mood all the time because of his impending return. So the last couple of years, more than anything, we've just felt bad for him. You know, I mean, he's been unable to play, unable to be part of everything that he helped build. And so that's the main takeaway. It's just great to see him happy again.
Can I ask you about specifically, what have you had him do in practice? When he's scrimmaging, is he essentially doing everything a basketball player would do in a basketball game?
Yeah, I mean, that's the point of scrimmaging, right? Is you end up doing everything. You defend and you put the ball on the floor and you shoot and you pass and you know, every movement that you make, it's going to happen during a scrimmage. You know, the first couple of months, he's been doing a lot of individual work, and he's ramped it up to 2-on-2, 3-on-3. And, you know, that moved to 5-on-5 last week while we were gone. And then we had a scrimmage day yesterday. The players had the day off from practice, but some of the young guys came in and scrimmaged with Klay. And so today was really the first official practice day for him, like, you know, being a part of everything. And we didn't scrimmage in practice. It was more defensive drills and shooting and, you know, 5-on-0 stuff. But it's feeling great just, you know, having him part of it and, you know, incorporating him back into everything that we're trying to do.
In what ways does he sound or speak or behave differently than he did before the two injuries? What are the differences you've noticed in not just the way he practices or does basketball skills, but just how his outlook has changed?
Well, I don't know that his outlook has changed that much. I mean, he always loved the game so much. And he loved the work. He loved the process. And then that was taken away from him. So I think he's just, more than anything, he's just thrilled to be back with a chance to play. But he's the same guy, you know. That's the beauty of Klay, is like, you know, he doesn't change. He just keeps things simple, loves the game, and now that he's, you know, able to play again, he's in a good place.
Ray and I were discussing, Steve, the man's mystique and his almost universal appeal. Like every single team, especially dominant and great teams, like the ones you've had and are enjoying at the early stages of this year, normally have an element where, you know, just doesn't matter what, you know, you hate that guy too. It doesn't feel like anybody, even people who hate the Warriors, hate Klay Thompson. Like there is an appeal to him that goes far beyond just a basketball player.
Yeah, for sure. I think everybody who likes the game likes Klay. You know, they just like watching him play, and he's just no nonsense. Sorry about my dogs barking away in the background.
It's okay.
But no, I just think people connect with him because of how much he enjoys playing, and his effort, the fact that he's a two-way guy, he competes so hard at both ends. It's just really impressive to watch him.
Steve, I want to talk to you about the dogs you got barking on the court. And man, you got him barking all of a sudden. Draymond feels like a man reborn. He is copped to as much, saying that he's got more motivation now, coming from the situation the team is in, coming from the age of his own children, as he comes into their focus as the player that he's going to be, that they're watching in an age where they'll remember who daddy was when he was out there playing. And I just thought it's so unique that, I mean, it's either the environment that you've created, Lacob has created, the Warriors have created, or just some real individuals on your team that are very comfortable opening up about their true motivations. Athletes normally safeguard these things. You have a few that do not.
Yes, we do. We do have a few who do not. We encourage that. I mean, I think a big part of this business is you want your fans to connect with your players. You know, you want them to fall in love with the players, and we've got a great product to sell, not just the team itself, but the individuals, the players. They're great stories. They're wonderful people. So, you know, we really believe in our players being out there as much as possible. And it's maybe a little different philosophy from some organizations, but, this is how we feel most comfortable doing it. There's a human connection that has to occur between the fans and the players, and for it to really, you know, catch fire. And I think that's what's happened.
Can I ask a mundane question about defense?
Sure.
How different is this defense from the one that was at the height of its powers, maybe in 2015? In what structural ways is this a sort of a revamping of what you did before, and how much of it is taking other ideas and adapting them to what you already had?
I think the biggest difference is those teams were among the league leaders in block shots. We had guys like Bogut and Festus Ezeli Kevin Durant. We had a lot of shot blockers, and this team does not have a ton of shot blocking, but we think we're right near the top of the league in steals. So we have a little more, lateral quickness and, players like Gary Payton, who've come in and really kind of changed some things about our perimeter defense. But the schemes are basically the same. And I think, Looney, despite not being a shot blocker, has become an excellent paint protector. So the schemes are about the same, but the personnel is just different.
This is the first time we've had the chance to talk to you, Steve, since you've come back from the East Coast road trip. And a lot of things happened, obviously. I'm probably the most fascinated by the game that people watched the least of, because so few of your stars actually went out and hit the court. That game in Detroit should almost count for two wins for you, because that's a scenario in which you do not win last year. And with all due respect to the Pistons, who are a young team trying to figure out their way in the NBA, I thought that was an awesome win for you guys, and it showed an awful lot of the DNA that you have put into guys who are not the stars of your team but play huge roles.
Well, it was a great win for us. We had guys banged up at the end of a trip. To be able to win a game like that, it gives the younger players a boost of confidence. It gives everybody a feel of, hey, we're a deep team, and we're all going to be needed. And it was just a really good night for a lot of guys, particularly for Juan Toscano-Anderson. He had been out of the rotation for a few games, and then he came back in that fourth quarter of the Cleveland game and played great the night before, and then started and played well against Detroit. So it's good to get him back in the fold. And I thought Jordan Poole's performance was huge and necessary, given that he had struggled for a couple games on the trip. So those games are always fun. When you're a winning team and you're in a pretty good place record-wise, occasionally you get those games where You know, you can play the young guys. It's a little bit of a free swing, and if you win, it's just a huge trampoline boost.
How much has Juan Toscano-Anderson's full-time NBA contract allowed him to not stress out about his minutes and just focus on when he's needed?
Well, it's helpful, but honestly, you know, everybody stresses out about a lack of minutes. I mean, it's just you know, being human. Everyone wants to play, and you know, when you're trying to make it in this league, even if you know, like Juan has a guaranteed contract finally, but you know, he wants to make it for the next 8 or 10 years, not just for this year. And so it's never easy when you're going in and out of the rotation, but that's what it takes on championship teams. You know, you have to have guys who understand their time is going to come, and it may not be their time for, you know, a few games. And that's going to apply to a lot of guys on the team this year, given how deep we are. So it's, you know, it's a good group because they understand that, but you need validation of that point from time to time, and just, you know, getting guys some playing time and some confidence. It's a huge part of the regular season.
Is there a generally agreed upon etiquette that when a team fires its coach during the season, that it's considered impolitic to try to hire somebody off somebody else's staff until the season is over? And while I know Sacramento was the last one to do it, there are probably going to be others this year. And when that happens, do you worry at all about getting the phone call that, hey, we're interested in Kenny Atkinson, or we're interested in Mike Brown, just to name the two guys with NBA coaching experience?
Number one, I can only think of one instance, which was last year when Chris Finch was hired by Minnesota. It's not a common occurrence, and it's nothing I've given a second thought to, you know, this year. And so, you know, my feeling is always, if you know, guys on our staff have an opportunity to become a head coach, or, you know, to elevate, you know, from a, you know, behind the bench to a front of the bench role, I'm excited for them. I mean, guys should, that's exactly what they should be thinking, is, you know, improving their careers and moving up the ladder. So, if it happens, you know, then that's a good thing. But generally, it doesn't happen during the regular season. It's extremely rare.
We were talking with Anthony Slater about a column he wrote about the defense and the things that have changed, the accountability of the players on your team, the accountability that Draymond puts on himself, the accountability of the coaching staff. And you were brought up as Steve 2.0. Do you feel rebooted as a coach?
I don't feel rebooted. I just think that, you know, we knew last offseason that we needed an energy shift within our coaching staff. And I've always had such wonderful coaches here. I've been blessed with so many great guys, and it's been such a fun 7.5 years. But I think a big part of this is recognizing when you need a shift, and we needed a shift, frankly. So getting that shift to happen has been a big part of our success, and it doesn't really have anything to do with, you know, who left. I mean, we had great coaches here who helped us win championships. It's just you have to sense when you need a shift, and I think the shift that our organization had this past summer was a needed one, and it's definitely helped me. The coaching staff that we have in place right now has been fantastic, and we're off to a really good start.
Can you elaborate a little bit on what you mean by a shift? Is it different voices? Is it different ideas? Is it different ideas and different voice? What exactly constitutes a shift that you're referring to?
I think just different ideas. For example, we have a totally different practice structure this year, and a lot of that came from some of the new guys that we brought in. You know, there's a certain amount of you know, institutionalized thinking that you can get to in this league if you're not careful, if you're not, you know, changing and shifting as you go. And so new.
Uh-oh. That sounds like.
Sounds like he went into the sea.
It did. He just walked off into the ocean, Ray. He'd had it with the both of us.
He had it with me. It was my question he walked on.
We've all had it with you.
Let me know. I my car keys are always at the ready.
He's back. He's back. Steve Kerr, once again here on 95.7 The Game. Where were we, Steve?
I don't know. I went to check on my dogs, and they were barking in the living room. Apparently, that's not a good sell area. So, you know, I'm just trying to keep things moving here.
It's all that gold-plated furniture you've got in there, you know.
That's what it is.
That must be what it is. Someone said that we had no feel for the game of basketball and our questions were lousy, but they enjoyed the Steve 2.0 question. So we'll try to keep it up here. You, Steph, Draymond, everyone talked about how Andrew Wiggins, you know, almost became a different person the night that you guys beat Minnesota earlier this year, and that you were going to try to tap into whatever that was over and over. He just had a spectacular game against Toronto. He's been playing great basketball since that moment. Is there something you've done to tap into Wiggins differently? Do you text him? Does Steph text him? The picture of him yamming it on Carl Anthony Towns like he said he would.
I don't know. Maybe Steph does. But this is just all about Wiggs. And I think two things happened. I think number one, he got past the knee injury that was bothering him during training camp. So his conditioning, his endurance, his explosion came back, which we knew it would. But then secondly, I think we collectively sort of, you know, figured out, you know, our team over the first couple of weeks, you know, and Wiggs was very patient. You know, he knew we needed him to defend, but I think offensively we didn't do a great job getting him involved the first couple of weeks. And then I said, I think, you know, over the last couple of weeks, it's all come together and he's found a really good niche within the offense. He understands what we're looking for. And I think he's simplified things. He's looking to catch and shoot and attack. And then he's playing exactly how we hoped he would. So it's exciting.
I want to get back to the shift you were talking about earlier. Was that something that happened gradually, or did you see something one day and said, you know what, we're in kind of a cul-de-sac and we've got to get out of it?
I started feeling something kind of last year we went to the finals. You know, it was such a grind, five straight years. It was a real haul. It was so much fun, but it was also exhausting. And, you know, that next year with all the injuries, we were really wiped out. And it felt like, all right, we're going to need to do something here. And I think, you know, the thought was, all right, it's got to be personnel based. And yes, that was part of it. I mean, we lost everybody to either retirement or free agency or injuries, and we were wiped out. But the following year, you know, last year really confirmed it for me that it's like, all right, we got to do some things differently. We got to evolve a little bit. We need some new energy, new blood, new ideas. And that, I think the whole organization felt that. It wasn't just our coaching staff, but, talking to Bob, talking to, you know, Kirk, talking to the people in the front office, we all felt it. And so we made some changes and, you know, we're in a good place.
Sixers in town. You take them on Wednesday. Can you give us a little bit of a thumbnail sketch how you prepare for a team that you don't even necessarily know who to prepare for? I know that Embiid did not play in Sacramento Monday. Seth Curry also missed that game. I certainly hope he can go. Curry versus Curry sounds like a good way to sell a basketball ticket to me.
Yeah, I hope Seth plays. That would be a great storyline. Sixers have just been wiped out with injuries and COVID stuff. So I think their doc's doing a great job. They're just kind of keeping their heads above water now, and we know how good they are when they're fully loaded. So we don't know who's going to be there tomorrow, but it doesn't change a whole lot in terms of our preparation. We're always more concerned with ourselves than our opponent, but we'll go through a walkthrough before the game, and we'll adapt, you know, according to who's out there.
You know, you've quoted the great line from Coach Rivers saying, you know, Doc is just a nickname. I'm not an actual doctor. Would the Sixers be off to a better start if he were an actual doctor?
Yeah, good point. Possibly. Oh, man, they've been hit about as hard as anybody. But that's why it's a long year. You know, it's we're on the flip side of that. Everything's gone our way so far. Long season. You just got to be ready for whatever comes your way.
We've saved the best to last, Steve. Klay Thompson mentioned championship or bust. Is that the way you guys are already talking about this season in the locker room?
No. But, you know, the players are different from from coaches. I think coaches, front office, we just talk and think about process and want to make sure we're doing everything possible each day to get better. And we're all well aware that we're completely at the whim of the basketball gods and circumstances and health and all that stuff. So we're in a good place. We've worked hard to get here, and hopefully, you know, both Klay and James will be back in the mix soon, and then we'll just keep going. But got to just enjoy the ride and see what happens.
The turkey hits the plate first on Thursday, little gravy on top. Then what is the side dish you go to? Next thing on your plate is?
Sweet potatoes.
He knows. That's a correct answer, Steve. Thank you very much.
Thank
Great
you.
Stuff. Thank hey, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'm glad that you guys are all home. I hope that that means a lot to your team. And continued success. This is a phenomenal start, and we're enjoying every minute of it.
I'm glad. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Steve Kerr here on 95.7 The Game. Sweet potatoes. Strong. To me, it's a potato or the stuffing, Ray. How do you break it down?
Oh, potato. I avoid the stuffing.
You avoid stuffing? Not a stuffing guy at all,
yeah.
Huh?
Thanksgiving does not move me.
Well, no. I mean,
turkey's profoundly overrated.
I would agree with you there. That's why the plan for this year's Thanksgiving at our place was going to be the prime rib, which we did last year. But we had to cancel Thanksgiving.
Well,
and by the way, I will be doing the show from home again tomorrow because we just got word that Jack has, what's it called? It's not COVID, but it's something else. It's another little virus that kids get. And if it shows up in an adult, it's not much more of a bad cold, but in a kid, it's bad.
It's datophobia.
It's something else. It's not called datophobia. It's something called RSV and an ear infection. We got RSV. I don't even know what that is, but my kid's got it.
I think we don't want the other kid
to have it.
You respond to a letter and then you get sick.
Like the RS or V?
No, RSVP.
Ah, oh.
God. Whatever's in your head is clogging up vital nerves ganglia.
JP in Berkeley says, is there going to be a Thanksgiving Day turkey draft? Well, no, we're not going to be on Thanksgiving Day. We're going to have one right now. Are you ready for a little Tuesday trifecta? Because when we have five lit and blinking lines, we're going to do it. We don't do it every Tuesday now. We don't do it every week. But having missed our traditional Halloween candy draft, our Tuesday trifecta topic today is set the table. Question number one, what are you most thankful for as a Bay Area sports fan? You answer that question however you need to. What are you most thankful for as a Bay Area sports fan? Question number two, should the Lions be flexed out of their Thanksgiving Day game? Have we seen enough? Is it time? Should the lines be flexed out of Thanksgiving? Or are you so married to the concept of tradition, it stays? And question number three, the Thanksgiving dinner draft. Turkey is off the board. The main protein is a given. This is a side dish draft, basically. 888-957-9570 is the number. Grandy Maldonado, have you prepared the Trent Baalke walk down memory lane where I tried to do this with former 49? Oh, by the way, current Jacksonville Jaguar general manager, Trent Baalke. It was a rough weekend for Trent.
Really rough weekend for Trent?
This was a rough question for Trent all those many years ago. Trent, it is up to you to draft three side dishes for Thanksgiving. Turkey obviously went number one overall. What are your next three draft picks?
Is this a serious question?
I'm dead serious about this. Don't dodge this. If you're like, I don't want to talk about mashed potatoes, I mean, I don't know what to do.
You got my voice down pat. What are your three? Give me your three next picks.
To me, honestly, Thanksgiving is nothing more than a vehicle to deliver stuffing. I'm a stuffing guy through and through. Stuffing, I got to have a little mashed potato, and then I got to be honest, I know it's a doubling up on potatoes, but give me a yam as well. Those are my three. Do you like my picks?
Not really.
No?
How about a W? That's what we want on Thanksgiving. We want a W.
Fair enough. My mom has never put a W on the table, though.
You don't get W's put on the table. You earn them.
Are you seriously dodging my what side dish question?
All right, give me some cranberries and how about some green beans?
There you go. That's the two least exciting side dishes on the table. Perfect.
I'm not an exciting guy.
Yeah, I know. Oh, memory lane, Ray. Memory lane with the Baalkenator.
It's like running over a dead squirrel.
I am a stuffing guy, though, so the fact that you don't like it at all, I mean, we can still be friends.
No, I always marvel at that, at his answer. I mean, literally afraid of everything, as though you were going to draw a conclusion from cranberry sauce. That means you like guys who've had surgeries.
Yeah. It means you only draft dudes with major knee reconstructions.
Yeah, I mean, there's a level of paranoia in almost everybody in sports because they are encouraged to be paranoid. But I think he taught at the university. I think he was one of the main speakers at the symposium about always look over your shoulder, you know. And maybe because he looked over his shoulder so much, he kept walking into walls and poles.
Somebody says, is it dressing or stuffing, Damon? Well, technically, it's a different version of the same thing. It's dressing if you make it in a casserole dish, but in order for it to be stuffing, it must come from inside the bird. So same thing, but it's two totally different things, and the choice between stuffing and dressing is no choice at all. You go with stuffing. My father and I used to argue about the stuffing. Who got the stuffing? Not the dressing that we made on the side because we knew we might run out of stuff, but for leftover turkey sandwiches. And I will insist, Ray, the best part of Thanksgiving is the next day leftover turkey sandwich with maybe even a little stuffing on the sandwich, which is how I would go. I know a lot of people like to incorporate the cranberry into that. I do not. I'm not a cranberry guy at all. I do not like hot fruit or cold fruit.
The cranberry is only there to add color to what is essentially a gray meat.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. It is a complementary color pattern.
It's an optic.
More than it is. Yeah, I agree. Somebody says, Damon, that Baalke Thanksgiving side dish interview never gets old.
No, the beauty of it is it always gets old because it reminds you exactly why his career went right in the gurgler.
He's still working, Ray. He's a multimillionaire. You know, I mean, like
he's working for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Won a 32 gigs. One of 32 gigs in the world. And if you have one, you're a millionaire. Many times over. Trent Baalke's worst day is better appointed than our best day.
The point is, he's doing that, and he's doing it poorly. But however much he gets paid, all that means is Shad Khan doesn't know what a dollar was worth.
Look at how bad we are at our jobs and what we get paid. He gets to be that bad at his job, and look at what he gets paid. He's beating us, Ray.
No, that just means he found an owner with more money and less brains. That's all it means. I mean, Shad Khan, for a self-made billionaire, and there are very few of those, you know, serious case of anal cranial inversion there.
By the way, I would like to, I just got to tell you, we had like a 3,000th show or whatever it was, and we tried to get Baalke on the air, and he didn't come on the air when we were going to go over that. Here's the thing, Ray. He got my cell phone number and he called me that night. Like, Baalke and I had a really nice conversation. He's not a bad guy, man. He's a really nice guy. He's just a terrible interview. And as a general manager dictating your NFL fortunes, he's left some to be desired. But for a minute there, he built a badass team that went to a lot of NFC title games. I mean,
the key being for a minute there.
For a minute there.
I mean, he's had this job in one form or another for the better part of the last decade and a half. And a minute there hardly erases the prairies of bad work since.
You're right. You're right. But look, when we talked on the phone, like my wife is, Jillian's like, who are you talking to? I'm like, Trent Baalke. She's like, shut up. I'm like, I swear to God. And I'm talking to him, and he brought up the Thanksgiving answer. He brought it up. He's like, oh, I remember that, Damon.
He remembers it.
He remembers it.
Well, gee, there's a high bar to clear.
Hey, we'll take it. I mean, do you think Steve remembers a single thing that we've just asked him about?
Oh, no. He was very much rooting for the dogs to bark louder so he wouldn't have to hear us.
Totally. He was more worried about what the dogs were doing than talking to us.
Oh, I tell you what, I think he would pay us not to talk to us.
Damon, stuffing can get you sick if not cooking the turkey properly. Yeah, absolutely. You get with the get salmonella that way, right? If you don't cook it all the way. You gotta cook that bird. You gotta cook that bird fully, but don't dry it out. And that's the secret right there. If you can get that done, you just had yourself a hell of a Thanksgiving. We're about to have ourselves a hell of a Tuesday trifecta. I see an awful lot of people are already in line. So, you know, it's been so long since we had a trifecta. I don't even know if we have a new, like, open one for the new show of just me and Ray. Let's find out together. Here we go.
And suddenly over the loudspeaker, I heard...
Trifecta.
Triple.
Trifecta.
With a triple.
Trifecta.
It's the Tuesday trifecta. One topic, three questions. Now, here's Damon Bruce.
Oh, that's right. We never mentioned Ray or Matt once in any of these, so they're just no editing was required.
I'm
outstanding. Kolsky and Company coming up at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I know. Omit my name from everything else. I'd like that too.
Kolsky and Company comes up at 6 o'clock tonight, not 7 o'clock. I still got the old clock.
No, you had it right.
No, it is. No, pardon me. It is seven. Yeah. Even my mistakes. Our bullseye mistakes. Warriors Roundtable is coming up at 6 o'clock. Kolsky and Company at 7. Write it down. Tell a neighbor. Let's say hello to Ange in Oakland, our first man in, first man on. Ange, it's a pleasure as always. How are you, pal?
Hey, I'm great. Happy holidays, everybody.
Thank you. Right back to you, too.
Goes well.
What are you most thankful for as a Bay Area sports fan? Now, I know you're a Baltimore guy, but just pretend for the sake of the show.
Oh, man, on the real, I'm so thankful when Comcast working and they just going out on me with the game is on. You just don't know. It makes me harken back to my days when OJ was on the loose and they interrupted that Knicks game. So when Comcast is working, I'm happy. I'm thankful. I'm grateful.
Should the Lions be flexed out of Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah, they might need to flex them on up out the league and send them to college and bring one of them, you know, Alabama or somebody in. It's bad TV for a good day. You know what I mean?
Do you think the Lions TV might actually lose an SEC game? Because they might.
Hey, bruh, I'm telling you, I'm saying it's a possibility.
All right. Ange, you get the number one pick in the Thanksgiving dinner side dish draft. Where are you going, sir?
Man, I'm going to give everybody in the Bay Area some game. That should be the collard greens. And the reason being is because you're going to need to spend the next 2 minutes pouring the juice off your plate so you don't soak everything up with that collard green juice. So it's got to be the greens. Feel me? That's game.
Wow.
Got it for me.
That's plate strategy, but I don't. The game is about drafting and drafting well. You could have gotten collard greens maybe in the second round. You took them number one overall. I understand why you did it, but boy, Mel Kiper, he's got a thumbs down review.
In the second round, you know what I mean? Second rounders, they end up being all stars and Hall of Famers sometimes. So you've been Wallace.
Ange, have a great Thanksgiving. Best of the wife. Best of the missus.
Hey, you too, man. Y'all be good.
Thank you so much. Ange in Oakland getting us going the right way. We go to Brett in Walnut Creek coming up next. Brett, thank you very much for the call. What are you most thankful for as a Bay Area sports fan?
I'm thankful for you guys taking my phone call, first off. I'm thankful for everything in the Bay Area sports. It seems like this last year, everybody's been back on track with a winning record, and we're getting playoffs, and it just feels good. It's where the Bay Area needs to be.
Should the Lions be flexed out of Thanksgiving?
I mean, I would flex the Lions out for a proper badminton match, but that's just me.
Shuttlecocks for everyone come Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving dinner draft, you have the second overall pick. Collard greens is the only side dish off the board.
I'm like you. I mean, stuffing's got to be there, but I'm going to go deviled eggs. My dad makes these delicious deviled eggs that everybody at the house eats, and he doesn't make enough of them.
Now, can I ask a question? Are those eggs, the deviled eggs, served as an appetizer, or are they actually put on the Thanksgiving table?
Well, it's meant to be an entree, of course, but it gets finished by the time the appetizers are all done.
Okay. All right. If that's the way it's supposed to go, I can respect it. I've never seen a deviled egg served as a side dish. I've only seen it as a past app pre-meal, but it's your family, baby. Thank you so much for the call, Brett. Great to talk to you. Happy Thanksgiving. Free the people in Oakland. Free the people. Welcome. You're on 95.7 The Game. What are you most thankful for from Bay Area sports?
I'm most thankful for the Warriors as an organization, as a fan base, and as a mother effing crew.
Thank you for censoring yourself. It is a family show.
Absolutely, guys.
Should the Lions be flexed out of Thanksgiving?
I might say yeah normally, but I got a hunch that they're beating the Bears this week because Andy Dalton just sucks that much. So I got the Lions actually winning on Thursday, and it's going to be an ugly game, but I got the Lions winning, so no, they should not be flexed.
Thanksgiving dinner draft, you have the third overall pick, and Lawrence Taylor and Joe Montana are still on the board.
I don't even need any more, so I'm going to make an easy choice, and I'm just going to go with mac and cheese, man. Some really good mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese. I was going to wait for somebody to say mac and cheese. Thank you, Free the People. And I agree with you. Mac and cheese, strong, strong side dish. It works in my house. It's a winner. Unless, of course, you are New England Patriots outside linebacker Matthew Judon.
I'm going to tell you, we got to get macaroni and cheese out the table. All right, guys. It's just cheese and noodles. All right, I'm getting on my soap opera. It's just cheese and noodles, and it's not that good. Get a macaroni and cheese off the table, and it'd be a much better Thanksgiving for everybody in the house. Yeah, I have never liked macaroni and cheese. And you know how they say, like, oh, your taste buds change every 7 years. You just got to – every time I try it, it's the same thing. And it's never going to change, and it's never going to get better. If you want to have a good Thanksgiving, don't cook macaroni and cheese.
Ray, of all the hot takes, is that possibly the hottest to ever come out of a New England Patriots press conference situation?
Well, the fact that it came out of a New England Patriots room means it's ultimately among the most controversial ever said. That said, he's wrong that macaroni and cheese is the same every time. And I would walk him over to 40th and MacArthur in Oakland to homeroom and slap some sense into him.
Thank you.
Because that's got to be done. If you don't like macaroni and cheese, they will cure you of what ails you mentally.
You endorse macaroni and cheese then?
I endorse that macaroni and cheese.
With the fourth overall pick, Raymond Ratto, what are you taking on your Thanksgiving table?
Homeroom macaroni and cheese.
Mac and cheese is officially off the board.
But not homeroom macaroni and cheese. But if you want to get picky about it, scalloped potatoes, and if you're going to allow me, instead of scalloped potatoes, a heaping vat of wine.
Scalloped potatoes, get them drunk.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, we will continue. Our final segment around the corner. More Tuesday trifecta right around the corner. Hey, by the way, with all the Thanksgiving that you got coming up, don't forget to elevate that tailgate when you get to this weekend as well. Elevate your tailgate. Brought to you by Charles Woodson's Intercept Wines. Look for them at your local retailer or visit interceptwines.com and have it delivered to your door. And if you're out shopping, make sure you go shopping at Safeway. At Safeway, they partner with trusted, top-quality growers for hand-picked fruits and vegetables harvested at the peak of flavor from farm to you. Visit Safeway's produce department today and see how they're perfecting the art of fresh.
Now back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
All right, so here's what we'll do. Damon and Ray on 95.7 The Game. We're going to remind you that every Monday you get the Football Hour with Sean Salisbury and Lorenzo Neal. Presented by the Livermore Casino, located on 1st Street in Livermore, offering Vegas-style blackjack, three-card poker, baccarat, Texas Hold'em. It's the Tri-Valley's place to play in downtown Livermore. Play responsibly. Ray, I do have to do tomorrow's show from home again. We got a disease here in the house. We're going to be okay. Someone's like, if the government gave you a vaccination, look at it. The government never gave anyone a vaccination. Doctors do that. And yes, if a doctor had a vaccination, we would have gotten it. Don't be a jackass. Ray, I want to get you something for Thanksgiving, but I have nothing to give you, and I couldn't even be in the same room with you to give it to you if I could. So I'll let you go with this. Someone who signed their text, Fat Thor, says, I co-sign with Ray Ratto on Homeroom. It is legit. So Fat Thor agrees with you, Ray. Turn your mic on.
It's comforting to know that an obese fictional character has my back.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Somebody out there agrees with you.
It changes my whole view of the day and what awaits me on the vile stretch of highway known as Battery Street.
Well, here's my Thanksgiving and Christmas present to you. Ray, I'm going to finish this show alone. I'm going to finish this show with the Tuesday trifecta. We don't need you for that. You can go. You've done your job for the day. Ray, well done. Take care.
Well, I do want to express this one thing.
Please. Good stuff. I'm glad he got that in. That man is doing a walk-off, everybody. I love it. It's my present to you, Ray. It's the only thing I can do, and I've done it. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we're going to wrap up. And you know what? Let's just eliminate the first two questions because we're running out of time, and I want to get all four people in here. What are you most thankful for the Bay Area sports fan? Everybody's going to answer this with some version of the Giants won 107 games or the Golden State Warriors are the best thing to happen to me in sports in a real, real, real long time. It's one of those two, so we'll leave it at that. Should the Lions be flexed out of Thanksgiving? It's real simple. It feels like a yes. The answer is no, though. It's all they got. Literally. It's all they have. You can't take everything from them if you take that game from them. So the answer is no. And now we're down to the Thanksgiving dinner draft. Our first four callers, collard greens, controversially went number one overall. Should they be there? Of course they should. Should they go number one overall? Of course they shouldn't. Deviled eggs, again, a very controversial choice. Macaroni and cheese, third overall. Scalloped potatoes, selected by Raimundo himself, fourth overall. And then we're going to get Ray drunk, but not until he gets home, which he's about to do. And now it's time we go back to the phones in the order in which you arrived. Steve, San Anselmo, thank you for the call. You have the fifth overall pick in the Thanksgiving dinner draft. And as I've said, Joe Montana and Lawrence Taylor and Jerry Rice are pretty much still on the board for you, should you be interested in any of those. So let's see where you go. What do you got? Fifth overall pick, Steve in San Anselmo.
You know, very happy that everybody picked punters, kickers, and nickelbacks before me. Unlike you, Damon, Thanksgiving is a vessel for stuffing. We're taking the value. Give me the Mac Jones of this draft. Give me stuffing.
It's a winner. I mean, they're standing up in the war room. They're high-fiving. You got stuffing at number five overall. That's grand larceny. It's like getting Steph seventh in the draft. I mean, it's incredible. Congratulations to you and your entire family. What a wonderful Thanksgiving war room you're about to have. We go to JP in Berkeley. JP, you got the sixth overall pick in the side dish draft. Where are you going?
Oh, I'm so glad you got the draft in. So I'm 51. I'm pretty old school. It's simple. Mashed potatoes with a big gravy blob right in the middle, and you turn it over. Simple.
The gravy well, and then you invert it?
Well, yeah, you dump the gravy in the well. You push it down with the ladle, and you turn it over.
It's strong. I thought you got like a moat of gravy, and then you like folded the potatoes into the moat of gravy. It's not just a strong pick. It's a great way to go about executing your dinner career. And we thank you, JP in Berkeley, for sharing that with us. Duke in the city. What's going on, Duke?
King got a sports mic. Damn, Bruce and Ray Rattle, who just walked off. Tell Rattle you better get back before I smack his ass in the Koski's corner.
Ray is probably already on Battery Street, and if there's one thing I can guarantee you, he's not listening to this. There's no way.
I know he ain't.
Duke, you got the seventh overall pick.
Going sweet potato casserole, D. Bruce, come on with the sweet potatoes on that. The sweet potatoes, the marshmallows made it on, melted on top of that sweet potato. Come on, man, you can't go wrong with that. And you got to have some of that Kush Mentos candy on the side, man. Got to have some of that Kush Mentos candy. You got to put it in the air, man, after you eat good. Like, sorry, man.
I don't know if Steve is joining you in the Kush department. Maybe he is. I'm sure Steve Kerr has. But Steve Kerr, he's taking sweet potatoes number one overall, and you get him seventh overall. That's a ton of value. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, Duke. And we wrap up with the first lady of all of our callers here on 95.7 The Game, the queen herself, Robin, in San Francisco. What a great way to wrap up the draft, Robin. You have the eighth and final pick.
Oh, God, someone took my pick, which is dressing. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go with the mac and cheese, but it's got to be made with the government cheese, okay? And the closest thing to the government cheese is Velveeta. I know it may sound gross, but that's the best way to make it from the old scratch, from Velveeta and real challenge butter, and it'll make you slap your mama's face.
You know what that is?
Baby.
Happy Thanksgiving. That's the power of a flavor memory. Flavor memories are incredibly powerful elements of nostalgia that we have built into our minds and our brains. And you could become a billionaire, and the government cheese, macaroni and cheese is still number one on your plate. I love it. Robin, thank you. You've taught us life lessons. Mac and cheese goes twice in an eight dish draft. We'll allow it because it's Robin and she's the first lady. She's the queen. So she can do it. Greens, deviled eggs, mac and cheese, scalloped potatoes, get Ray Ratto drunk, stuffing, mashed potatoes, and the gravy, invert it. Sweet potato casserole, government cheese, mac and cheese, and there's nothing left for us to do today. other than invite you to stick around for Warriors Roundtable. Gary St. Jean and Kevin Dana are coming up. Thanks to Scott Reese, Anthony Slater, and Steve Kerr for joining us today. Great stuff. We're going to have 49ers linebacker Azeez Al-Shaair joining us at 4:30 tomorrow. We're looking forward to that. We're already thankful. And it'll be the last show before Thanksgiving. We'll get you ready for the Warriors and Sixers, as will Warriors Roundtable coming up next. Thanks to Lucas and Grandy back in the studio. For Ray Ratto, who hopefully is already on the Bay Bridge. No chance. It's a bear. Everyone came into work today. So Wednesday night, tomorrow night is one of the biggest pizza nights of the year. And it's one of the biggest bar nights of the year. So be careful out there. Thank you so much for listening. And please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.